We are talking about the reason why you were born. Don't forget that thing I said. You know, remember what I said before I go back to what I said before? I said the number one reason why people miss the call of God, why people bury their talents, okay, and forget their gifts, the number one reason is what? Fear. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? What I was referring to earlier, I said that there was a day I was at home and my mom and I was talking. She asked, "Like your private practice, how is it doing?" I said, "That one, mommy, I closed it long ago." She said, "Why now?" I said, "I don't have time." I said, "Ministry work takes more than half of my time. The rest of the time I dedicate to the other things that I do. I teach in a university, more than one university actually. And I consult in a hospital that's where I work." I said, "Between those two things, my time is finished." I said, "Private practice, I don't have time for it." And she said, "But ministry doesn't pay you money." And like I said, she wasn't criticizing or making me see sense. She was just making an observation. And I answered, and I believe that answer, well, it was inspired by God, yes, but not a special inspiration. It's based on truth. He said, "My reins doth instruct me in the night seasons. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel." Do you understand my point? So it's the word that has been stored inside that came out again and spoke up. I said, "What shall we do then?" Those were my words. What shall we do? Will we say because of it's not paying, we will not do the thing, the very reason why we were born? I told my mom, I said, "This is why God allowed you to have me as a child. So what are we going to do about it?" That's what it means to be a born servant. Listen, I think Christians, I'm begging you, from today, stop doing things for God, saying, "God, I'm waiting you to give me back. God, you know I've sown a dangerous seed. I'm expecting a dangerous harvest." That's childish talk. It was good for a season. I'm instructing you now, grow up and stop being silly. Jesus said, "This is how servants of God behave. They will come and say, 'Master, we have finished the one we have done. After all, are we not unworthy servants? Is there any other thing we are supposed to do?'" Listen, Pastor Banky, but you say you believe that God will bless you. Yes, that blessing is on his own. I found it on his own. I don't know what I have my point. He said, "Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream." I believe that one independently. Do you get the point? I was reading a book, one of these daily devotionals, was it this morning or yesterday? And I got to a page, I said, "No, I don't agree with this, sir. Who wrote this? I don't agree with this." He said, "Things that the Lord taught us concerning giving. Number one, we should give expecting to receive something." I said, "I don't know where you saw it in the Bible." In fact, the only one I saw is give expecting nothing in return. Do you understand my point? Listen, there's a deep look. I don't know why do I always keep, okay, I think I know why I keep going back to this thing. It's because of the prevalence of wrong teaching. I say that boldly. It's because of the prevalence of wrong. The word is W-R-O-N-G. Wrong teaching in the body of Christ concerning the doctrine of giving. Most of the things we teach around, they are very wrong. That's why I find myself going back there all the time. It's a matter of what? Faithfulness. Christians are supposed to be what? Faithful. Faithful. We are supposed to be faithful. Christians are supposed to be faithful. We are supposed to do things for God with no strings attached. However, God has promised. Are you getting my point? God has promised. He said, "I have not asked the children of Israel to serve me for nothing, but I promised them a reward." He said, "But you must do that willingly and in obedience before you get the reward." Grudgingly is waiting to get something. Willingly is that if I perish, let me perish. "Though he slays me," Job said, "yet will I trust him." That's what Job said. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Let me sit on my main message. Talking about forgotten gifts and hidden talents. What happens, you see, there's one thing about, let me read this particular spiritual principle to us. The book of Romans Hebrews chapter 2. There's a spiritual principle I just want to bring out from here. Talking about these forgotten gifts and hidden buried talents. verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. It said, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Or if you have a King James or some other translation, it said, lest they slip away from us. Did you notice that? Things tend to slip away when we forget, when we don't give them attention. Anything you focus your attention on, all right, those ones tend to be magnified. But the ones you neglect, eventually they tend to slip away. That was why Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, stir up the gift, all right, that's in you, which entered into you by the laying on of hands of the elders and by prophecy. What does that mean? The Holy Ghost said, I like the way he said concerning Paul and Paul and Barnabas. He says, separate for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have called them to do. It was as people were ministering to God and they were fasting. That was prophecy. It wasn't as if the elders decided that this is what you will do. No. But during ministration, somebody spoke a word of prophecy, which was in exact accordance with God's plan for the life of Timothy. Except that for a long time, Timothy did nothing about it. Are you following my point? As a man of God I was reading, I think it was Ken Hagin, he said something that one day the Lord spoke to him, I think in a vision or something. And he said, what are you going to do about the gift I placed in your hands, I think 12 years ago? Did you hear what I said? How many years? 12. And the man said, well, I really wasn't planning to do anything about it. Really, he wasn't planning to. And then the Lord said to him, you have to, or else. Or what? Else. And he said, I have fallen into some of his else's a number of times. And really, I don't want that to happen again. God placed the gift of healing in his hands. And the man he just forgot about it. So after that, he began to do healing classes. He started teaching on healing alone and laying hands on the sick. That is, he had in Rima Bible School, they have healing classes every day. He will go there, he will teach. At the end, he will pray for the sick. He will lay hands on the sick. Because there was a gift that was placed in him, but he forgot about it. And after a while, you tend to forget about it. If you forget about it, I don't know, do you know what I'm saying? If you don't pay attention to it, you will forget about it. When I'm writing sometimes, you know, I write a lot. At least I used to. Anyway, you'll get where I'm going in a moment. Sometimes work is plenty. And when I'm writing it, the thing is like fire. In fact, you know, the time I was away for about a month, when I went for a course in the US, that was when I wrote this book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. The first 2 weeks, I was with my brother-in-law. Last 2 weeks, I was all alone because he had traveled. I was staying in his apartment. He had traveled and come back to Nigeria. And in 2 weeks, I finished the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, working only in the evenings. I used to go to work to the hospital where I was doing my training. I used to go there morning till, in fact, around 4 o'clock. I used to be the first to close after they're not paying me money. So what is it? I'm not a licensed American practitioner. I'm just here to get some training and some observership. So once the afternoon bus starts running, I just pack my bag. See you guys tomorrow. You guys are working for the money here. Me, I'm going back home. Because then, I could close early. Now, once I get back to the house, maybe around 6 o'clock, you know, I will sit down and write till 12 midnight. 12 midnight, I will check. It will be 6 a.m. in Nigeria. And I pick my phone, call my wife. And we'll chat for like 20 minutes. By that time, she's waking up. So we'll chat for like 20 minutes. Then she'll hang up the phone and go and get the children ready for school. Then I'll go back to sleep. I'll go to sleep. Next morning, I wake up, go to work, do my shopping on my way back, enter the house, and literally I'll just sit down there and start writing. Get my point? When my brother-in-law was going to leave, I was in his computer initially because I didn't go with mine. I had planned to buy another one. But I wanted to buy a Dell, and it was difficult to buy the very type I wanted. My credit card wouldn't work because Dell wouldn't accept a credit card that's not based in America or Canada, or place like that, or UK. So, and I had a Nigerian-based credit card. So it was a bit difficult. But now my brother-in-law was leaving, and he was going with his computer. Do you know, I just walked straight to Second City behind. I thought about being alone for 3, 4, 5 days without a computer. 2 days before he left, I went to buy another one. I didn't need it though. I just rushed. I used it only for those 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. And when I'm, that is the thoughts used to read the book. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say it, but I think the book is anointed. I wrote it, you know. I thank God for wife and children. Amen. But those days when I was alone, choices key to destiny was a letter. I just sat down one day. I said to just write. I saw somebody going to Benin. I handed the person the paper. Give this to Ufoma when you get to Benin. After we married, I collected my paper back. I'm publishing to a book. Choices key to destiny. That's gift. What I'm trying to bring out is that while I'm there like that, the thing flows. But this is the interesting part. If, okay, I'm writing. The way the thing is going, you hear me saying, look, I should finish this book by this weekend. There was a particular book I said I'll finish this weekend. That was 2 months ago. I haven't finished it. Do you know why? Suddenly, I go back to work, distraction. And the anointing just went, psh. Anytime I pick the book, I have to start reading from the beginning again. And I get my point. That book is bigger than, in fact, the volume I have written is bigger than Great Faith Can Be Yours. Much bigger than it. So anytime I pick up the book, I start again reading it from the beginning so as to get into the flow. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. I have to start reading again so I can get into the flow. Except that by the time I enter the flow, time don't go. I have picked that book to complete it up to 5-6 times. I said, no, I have to take a break again shortly, that the anointing of the writer might return. Do you understand my point? Yeah, there's a different anointing when I'm writing and when I'm speaking. Two different ones. Now, what am I saying? I'm using that to explain something. When you neglect something, it tends to just slip away. Gently. That is, if I thank God for recorded messages and the fact that one can, you know, write things down. There are things maybe these days, right, I'm feeling anointed. Like, there's a truth I just came to understand and I begin to teach. Then one day I pick a book or something I wrote like 7 years ago. And I said, the truth I began to understand, I wrote 7 years ago, but I forgot. I thank God for the gift. I know I like to put things down. Many things that I got to understand, all right, I will have totally forgotten except that I put them down. I'm just discussing my own gift. Do you understand my point? I'm explaining that when you neglect something, they tend to just slip away. They just gently drift away from you. You may even forget that you know about them. There's a man who used to call me when we first started doing a radio broadcast. And that's what I talk about, the danger of prosperity. There are certain prayers, if you pray for people, they think you are being wicked. If I say, if maybe what people want, they want to say, this year is your year. Everything, I say, good, it's good. I know, I believe that it's a year of manifestation, but there are people that you should pray a prayer for. May God not bless you until the time is ripe. There's a reason I'm saying so. There are some people that have been begging for a job, and God has refused to give it to them. You have queued, you have prayed. They say, anoint. In fact, how to anoint your application is what you don't even know, so that you don't stain it. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So what you do is that you cover it with cloth and anoint the cloth, hoping it doesn't drip on the paper. And say, Lord, you understand, the oil cannot touch this paper. It's going for certification. So you can really use the edge, touch the oil. He says, sow a seed towards this breakthrough. You wrap the money inside that application. And when they want to give offering, you shake it out of the application and say, Lord, you have done all kinds of things. God said, oh boy, this job you are begging for, the day I give to you, all your gifts, you will forget them. That is God, this boy doesn't understand. In fact, there are people who have gotten sacked, that God might give them time to remember their gift. The brother I said used to call me those days. I don't know how he got my number, but the guy who said, please, I hope you don't mind, sir. And I will be on the phone talking with him for 40 minutes. I don't know him. If it's now, you know I will mind. This guy will keep me on the phone for like 40 minutes. And what do we use to discuss? The only time I'm preaching, let me put it like this. It's as if I remind him of himself. I don't know whether you understand the point. Like, this is what you are supposed to be doing. But he works in a bank and he closes at night every day. New Generation Bank, he closes at night every day. And every day he goes to work and he closes. And anytime he tunes to Cosmo FM, those days was only Mondays, and he hears Pastor Banky, problem will begin again. That, wow, this is what you are supposed to be doing. So he'll pick the phone and call me, looking for encouragement. What do I do? I say, oh boy, what do you do? I don't know, but I think it's what you can do. This gift must be exercised though. Whatever you need to do, make sure at least you have your weekends free and start work. Write a book. Gather a small group of people and teach them. Go to a church where they allow you to excite. Do something. He said, yes, I think what you have said is so correct. Yes, I will make sure that this year, believe me, that year passed though, nothing happened. Because you know the way it is. It's target, reconciliation, end of year, you know, this one. And every day will be passing. Let me tell you the kind of favor God does to such people once in a while. You'll get fired for nothing. You did not sin. You didn't steal. You have not been lazy. One day, they just post one woman to be your regional manager or something. And she just decides that you don't respect her. That is, you haven't done anything. Even you can't understand. The story I'd like to tell in that regard is Noel Ikeakanam. Faith Liberation Center Asaba. He came to our convention to preach some years ago. Powerful teacher. He said when they offered him a job as a detail of observer in Benin, and he knew that it was time to enter into ministry. So he told them that, he said, he prayed and told the Lord that, let me just stay here for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, I will leave. 2 years, the job was sweet, the pay was good, he forgot to leave. 2 years, 6 months. 6 months after the expiration of his 2 years, the good Lord manifested. I know what he did. Miriam Babangida came to town. And they took photograph of Miriam Babangida and they printed it in a newspaper. And somebody on the board decided that the picture was not complimentary. That Miriam will be angry when she sees the photo. Ah. So they suspended the editor. You know, he like, what are you talking about? Maybe the woman was talking, you know, sometimes you're talking, they take a picture and you're watching like this. And nobody thought about it. They just stamped the picture printed into the paper. And they said, what? What do you want Babangida to do when he sees this? You know, Miriam was a very powerful person. You know, the man said, what kind of nonsense is this? NUJ, Edo State Chapter, went to court. Miriam Babangida made the statement that, please, I have no hand in this man's death. If you know, you know what they say. She Pontius piloted on the case. Was the man reinstated? Who's I? He won the court case. I forgot to mention to you. He won the court case. But it's not now that Kutigi is the CJ. Those is a lot of nonsense used to go. You know if it is now. And they rule against you. Don't obey first. Let the man find out you're in trouble. But those days, the Lord knows how they're working things. No, Akia Kanam said he talked to himself and said, I know the root of all these things. It's not the board. It's not Miriam. It's not IBB. It's none of the above. What's the problem? I told the Lord I'll live here in 2 years. 6 months after 2 years, I'm still looking for how to live. Since I couldn't find a way, he has opened the door. The man just abandoned the whole project and went to Winners Chapel and became the director of Dominion Publishing, then became the head of the Bible School, and then before he finally left, and then came to start Faith Liberation Center in Asaba. That's what God does for people who he loves a lot of times. Now, so please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That so, in that case, God just opened the door for him. But the point I'm making is talking about forgotten gifts and hidden talents. Number one reason why people forget, that's what I'm saying. And when you forget, you know, things tend to slip. It's very common in our society. Sometimes your parents, they help you forget. Let me say this to you again. All right? Listen to this clearly. University education is an education. Is that here an amen? Polytechnic education is an education. Is that here an amen? Say it loud if you believe it. Amen. They are meant to educate you, not to give you money. There's no university degree that's passport to wealth. None. Are you getting my point? They are meant to educate you. They are not meant to make you rich. They are not meant to give your life direction permanently. Because a lot of you studied course. There are 10 different reasons you studied your course. I can start giving you one. Maybe when you were young, somebody said, ah, you look like an engineer. Why? You didn't use to iron your trouser. And that is it. Because you are such an irresponsible, you didn't use to comb your hair. They say you look like a scientist. You used to argue a lot. They say you talk like a lawyer. That's one reason. So they just lead you in the direction that has not... Engineering has nothing to do with dirtiness of trousers. You know that. The madmen on the streets are not scientists, yet their hairs are not combed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just wake up and yeah, we have an uncle that's a doctor. Say, ah, you like him so much. You think the reason why you like him is because he's a doctor. That's it. He has given your life direction. And your father says, this is the way the country is going. This is where the money now is. So you go and do BSc soccer. Did you hear what I said? BSc soccer. Because Okocha is making money. Somebody said, ah, you want to buy football for your son? I said, for what? I said, because of money, it increased. We can buy football. Look, my boy will play soccer because it's good for a young boy to exercise. Do you understand my point? I don't care how much money Okocha is making. I don't give a damn. And peradventure, he wants to be a footballer. The way I will tell him is this. When you pass WASC, I buy you 10 footballs. When you get an admission to university, I buy you a football field. It's negotiation. When you graduate, tell me a stadium is your gift. Because the chances are that by the time he graduates, he will have changed his mind. Do you understand? That is, I give the guy incentive to read. There was one man I was watching in TV, they made a movie about his life. All right? And how he helped a lot of young black boys become important people. All right? He was a football coach, what Americans call football. All right? That was what he used to do, was a football coach. But he understood the problem of the American black boys. They know they like to read. Do you understand? So, his rule is that you cannot make it onto his team except you are passing. And if you enter the team, even when you are the best player, he benches you if you fail. So when they finish practice, he said, all right, keep the grades up. And everybody wanted to play for him because he was a regular supplier of young talents to the National Football League. And you know what that meant. So the man said, you are good, you are a millionaire. You know. So all the boys wanted to play for him. But the man said, no problem, you can play for me. Just make sure you pass. You fail one subject, you are out. So the boys, they will play during the day at night. They know they sleep. They go read. Because the man understood that, look, being a footballer, you know how much money Tyson made? Tyson made money, but the guy is still broke. He's poor. Why? Because he doesn't have education. He doesn't have wisdom. He jammed the Rolls Royce. You know what they call a Rolls Royce? The other day I was watching on TV that they made a small Rolls Royce called the Baby Rolls. And the Baby Rolls is bigger than a 7 Series BMW. A Rolls Royce that they sell for £250,000. He jammed one on a tree. As he came out, of course, police was there to check what happened. He dashed the keys to the policeman, take, and walked away. That's a crazy man. So this man understood that we make money for you, does not listen to me. It doesn't mean that you do well with the money. MC Hammer was too legit to quit. You remember? Here comes the hammer. That guy was something else. The guy was make every album hit. The guy danced so much, he made Michael Jackson look lazy. Even Bobby Brown respected the person of it, yet MC Hammer was broke. Why? Because he has an entourage of maybe like 700 people. No, those niggas are real niggas, believe me. They won't go to school, they won't read. What am I going to explain? Look, you need to be educated. Look, it's not a passport for riches. But it's wisdom for life. Do you get my point? You go to school to learn life. When you go to school, it's not just to go and get a good grade and somebody can give you a job. No. I told the story of a lady who came to see me once, said she didn't have a job. I said, okay, what do you plan to do? And I said, maybe she should go back to school. I said, look at you. You have a first degree. You have not made more. You think a second degree will make you richer? What's wrong with you? The more degrees you have, the poorer you're likely to become. So forget that one. You have been educated. I said, now let us now make money. Let me ask you, what do you know how to do? Use the skill of an educated, the mind of an educated person to do what you know how to do. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things, talking about forgotten gifts and hidden talents. Because one of the reasons why people lose their gifts, you know, somebody made them, you studied a subject that's not your own. The day you became a bachelor, you got your bachelor of law, Abi. The day they called you to bar, anyway, barrister at law. First day you went to the bar, you knew that this bar, except they are serving drink, I'm not coming back. You know you don't like it. But you cannot read this man versus this one, according to this one, for 5 years and 6 years and not become wise. It's not possible. You will have become wise. You can't go to school and spend 4 years reading history. They teach you political history, economic history, American history, history. At the end of the day, if you are still stupid, you have a mental problem. You will have become wise. So you have your degree in history, then go out and just be a wise man and decide, yeah, okay, now what do I like to do? I remember that I love to drive and transport people. So let me start my transportation business. Take some more money, buy one or two motorbikes with crash helmet, hire it out, and then you start building things up bit by bit. And then you are wiser than the man who didn't study history. Because you remember the economic history. All right? The American crash of 1929. This was what caused it. So it's not going to happen in your life again. You are getting what I'm going to say. That's what history does for you. But people don't understand. They look at certificates and say, no, I don't want to study history because the banks won't give me a job. The telecom guys won't give me a job. And that's nonsense. Who wants anybody's job? I didn't want to give this as an example earlier, but let me just give this an example. After I got married, of course, immediately after I got married, my wife started working in UBA. And then, of course, that was when I now came to, shortly after I came to Enugu. So, in fact, she resumed work. This is her training in Lagos and came to Enugu. Let me cut the long story short. Anytime I see my wife going to work, those days, oh my God, I said, this will not be work. Especially when they moved that to counter. I said, this is not work. This is not work. I'm not saying banking is not a good work, but for this woman, it's not. I used to tell her that. Next time I come to this banking hall and you're frowning, I'll write the resignation letter for you myself and submit it without your knowing. You come to work next day, they say, but you resigned yesterday. Because I said, which kind of Allah be this? Customer will come with a frown. Why? I said, you should know that there are things you can't do. Let me not. Of course, after some time, she resigned and came home. And resigned to what? Nothing. She just resigned. Later, I will find out what would. In fact, she resigned, started an MBA immediately. Just so that to keep body and mind fresh. You understand my point? But by the way, she finished the MBA how many years ago? 5 years ago. She has not collected the certificate till now. I paid money for the MBA. It was executive MBA. 5 years ago. Till now, the certificate is lying there. That business school near Apex Bank. It's still lying there. Why? Because I don't know why she begged. She finished it, graduated properly. Go collect the certificate now, tomorrow. Tomorrow is 5 years ago till today. Because she wasn't planning to use it for anything. Alright? But this is the story. Yesterday, or 2 nights ago, I saw her sitting down, doing her accounts, sales, what I bought. My wife loves to sell things. In fact, my sister-in-law said, she looked at my son, said, your mother loves you, otherwise by now you'll be on sale. Believe me, I looked at her, I said, my God. Father, I thank you for the spirit you gave me. It will have been a terrible thing. Maybe by now, no, literally, her mates are managers. I'm not joking. You work in a bank for 10 years, you know, you become manager, except something wrong with you. I started working there almost 10 years ago. I said, but for me, I would have felt very terrible. In fact, while I forded the house, because now grumble every day. But because I know, if I just telling myself, yeah, I'm just looking at her, having the time of her life, you know, sitting down, doing her sales, come back home, smile. Do you know what? Planning. Okay, this is what I'm going to do next. I will do this. I will print my flyers. I get my office. I said, this woman is really having, my mind, you're really having a nice time. You have a BSc in accounting, an MBA, and ICAN, whatever it is, it does not make you necessarily a banker. If you really are not. What I'm trying to say is that if you discover that you have buried a gift and forgotten, or you have buried a talent and forgotten a gift, please, I beg you, go and dig it up. That's what I'm saying. I was watching one man on TV the other day. He's a comedian. He said he used to work in a bank that, according to their banking rules, he couldn't do his comedy. So, and then still continue his work. So, the guy decided that, look, this is what I really like to do. He's the guy who cracked the joke that really made me laugh. You know his joke. His joke was that, he said, he went to Iraq. He did, just want to make you laugh. He said, he went to Iraq. And in Iraq, he wanted to sing. So, he sings. He has an album out. He said, somebody said, all right, give us a bass line. You know, they want to test the instruments. So, one guy came with a rocket propelled grenade. Doom! He said, yes, okay, the bass is working very well. Oh, yeah, okay, they wanted to test the guitar. Somebody came out with an AK-47. So, yeah, this thing's working very well. And I was watching him on TV. I was on DSTV, all right? But you see, the point I'm making is that the man looked... Well, I'm not going to bring out an issue, all right? That some life, you've gotten a degree, you found yourself in a particular job, does not mean you must bury your gift. Because that thing that God gave you to repair a particular degree of darkness that exists on earth is not just about which one pays more. I'm not a grumbly person, and I thank God for how much He has blessed me. Do you understand my point? But if you want to be rating which one pays more, if don't let me even say it, it's not worth saying. I was going to say that if I use the amount of money, time I spend doing ministry work to chase money. What if you chase the money, run into a ditch, and you get a depressed core fracture? Would it increase? So it's not even a statement. Look, every day, I thank God for what I have. I don't give a damn about what I don't have. Anything I don't have, I ask Him about and I leave it. And I look at my kids all the time. I take them and say, this is a blessing from God. My kids are very exciting children. Anytime I drive home, there's a way they greet me. Akinlu and, Benga and Omena will start jumping in rhythm. Dad, they will be jumping. I say, hey, Father, I thank you. I can't quantify this in cash. I can't. The peace of mind I have at home, I can't quantify it in cash. Do you understand my point? Listen, because let me tell you something. When you leave gifts and callings and pursue fear of tomorrow, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will shall we be clothed? The Bible says that these are the things that men sought after and went through many hurtful lusts and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. And many sorrows is not just a depressed spirit. There are all kinds of things that are called many sorrows. Sometimes it literally kills people. Are you getting my point? How do I know I've buried my gift and hidden my talent? I want to close. I don't want us to be overshooting too much. Just give me 5 minutes and I'm out of here. You are the one that we know. I don't know how you will know, really. But the Holy Spirit will witness to you, especially when you are present, all right, where the word of God is being preached. There are many people, that's why they don't go to church. Believe me what I'm saying. The reason why they don't go to church is that anytime they go, God reminds them, oh boy, you see, how about that thing now? Their conscience, you know, called conscience, won't let them rest. Therefore, they avoid going to church. When we of success wants to start, they will tune off the radio. Because even if you are preaching about the second coming of Christ, all they are remembering, and let me talk as a preacher, is that God said to them, through different diverse methods, and they have a strong conviction many years ago that they should go to Bible school and start preaching the word of God. And listen, over the years, the guy has worked hard. He has made it. He's now an AGM in one big multinational. It's difficult to just work. Listen, I'm not saying it is easy. Just walk out of one fantastic pay. It's good for God to wreck your life when you are young. Did I hear an amen? And God destabilizes you thoroughly when you are young. It's good, though. They fire you. You're only 27. It's a perfect... God, perfect time. Perfect time to find direction. Perfect time to find direction. I remember one story. Somebody spoke... My pastor in Lagos, I was telling a story once. He said there was one guy... Listen, that in the company, he said how prosperous the company was. They had them maybe... 50 members of staff, but they had 52 official cars. You know, that kind of thing. I've forgotten the exact figures, but to give you an idea, that's how prosperous the company was. And he was one of the top level managers. So every day the guy will sit down and he knows what he's supposed to be doing in life. But they have paid him, taken his time, walked him up the ladder. He's so high. He has a wife. He has about 2 kids who go to expensive schools. Are you hearing me? He has a lifestyle that's high up there. Every holiday, either in Europe or in America. But every day, he doesn't forget that this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. So he will lament to his friend, my problem now is how do I get out? That is why I said, look, don't be angry when God refuses to bless you, a young man, a young woman. It's a good time to find direction. Are you getting my point? That is a good time to find direction. And once you have found the right direction, then you stick with it because, you see, eventually, you see, I believe this very much. You can't be obeying God and He won't bless you. It's not possible. Eventually, listen, I said that my people have a saying that the child that doesn't die always becomes an adult. It's a profound statement, though it looks very obvious. Say if the child doesn't die, he becomes an adult. You can't walk with God regularly. The problem is that God doesn't do things in a hurry. But you cannot walk with God regularly in integrity, doing your business, moving your life, and God will not shower His blessing upon you. It's not possible. That's why David said, I've been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen his children beg bread. Do you understand my point? So if you find out that you have forgotten your gift, let me summarize that in one or two sentences. You go and pray. You go and pray. Say, God, I want to do the works that I did at the first, or that I was supposed to do. And then He'll begin to give you opportunities. Please, then you commence exercising your gift. Let me end my message. Your life was not created to be average. Are you getting my point? There are billions and billions of stars in the sky. All of them, they shine. Do you follow the point I'm making? So all of us can be outstanding in life. That's the point I'm making. All of us can be outstanding. All of us can be outstanding. There is something that you're supposed to do that nobody did before. At least, I'm not bragging about it, just a matter of fact, all right? But I don't know how many people in Enugu were doing the kind of thing that I'm doing now. You come for a Bible study and nobody claps or sings, you just show up. Some people are so sure that this thing will soon turn to a church. 3-4 years have passed. 2003. This is 6th year. All right, halfway through this year, it will be 6 years. It has not turned to a church. You are getting what I'm saying? There's something you're supposed to do also. The problem is that people have thought that anything I'm supposed to do is supposed to be the passport to immediate abundant wealth. I've said it before. If your gift, the exercise of it, is not giving you money, no problem. Ask the Lord, can I make tents in the evenings? Like Paul. But you cannot afford to totally neglect it because it doesn't pay. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to your mental health. It's dangerous to your spiritual health. It is dangerous to your physical health. It's dangerous to your life totally. There's this message I want to recommend as I close. Quench not the spirit. I preached this message many years ago. We have in our archive. Titled, Quench Not the Spirit. I give that to you as an instruction. Please, if you listen to me today and you were blessed by today's message, get that message. Quench not the spirit. I hope you've learned something today. Let me close my message here. I think I'll say what the Lord wants us to know. Let's begin to give the Lord.